Welcome back. It is just 30 after the hour of 7. Yaka wena o ikutlwetse wena moreetsi ra be re bua ka kgang e maketekete. In our 30 minutes of debate, we asking you at home for your help in satanism. If you might have an experience on these types of behavior and how to overcome them, you can give us a call. On the 10th of September, if you can recall, Morne Haramse was actually sentenced to 20 years imprisonment by the High Court in Johannesburg for killing a schoolboy with a sword. During this case, testimonies came from different specialists, and some even suggesting that Morne Haramse was a satanist because of the sword, the horrific drawings, and the mask he had from home. All this was said to be of Satan. A day after Morne Haramse's sentencing, we got a call from a frantic Soweto mom suspecting that the child at home, a 19-year-old, might be actually going through this, a challenge. We have tried getting a psychologist on this matter, but to no avail. We're asking you to actually give us a call and your thoughts. We are now joined on the line by Jacques Rousseau, and he's from the Free Society Institute, and he wrote an article, Gobble and Gobble Gook, in the Star last week, just to give us the insight. He's going to be giving us the insight. Yaka, good evening and welcome to Josie.
Good evening, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Your article that you actually wrote, it was called the Gobble and Gobble the Gook, or is that the correct pronunciation? Tell us more on the article that you wrote.
The point I was trying to make there was that, I mean, while people might consider themselves to be Satanists or such like, that there is no real thing as Satanism in terms of its connections to real sorts of demons and Satans and ghosts and all of those sorts of nonsenses, that it's really a confusion, and that the courts were in the wrong to invite somebody who believes in that sort of thing to testify in the sentencing of the young boy who committed this murder.
In that article, you mentioned that we should not put our faith in occult experts. What do you mean by that?
I mean that it's not something you can be an expert in because it doesn't actually exist.
So in terms of this book, the Satanist, the Bible, is that a fantasy or does it really exist?
No, the book really exists, and people do consider themselves to be Satanists. But if you read the book in question, it doesn't talk about these sorts of things. It doesn't talk about beheadings and ritual slayings and such. In fact, it urges you to not do any harm to other people most of the time. So it's a Satanism as a kind of cultural idea, which is propagated by religion most of all, is a very different thing to what Satanists believe.
Here in the studio, Jaka, I've got a mother who actually suspects that he's a 19-year-old boy who might be actually going through this. I'm just curious, and I want to know, from this lady, whether what is it that she actually picked up. Ma'am, sawubona kunjani?
Sekhona,
what is it that you actually picked up that makes you convinced that your son might be going through this practice?
The thing that made me anxious is the drawings that he always draw, and the weapons that he carries. He always keep very dangerous weapons at home.
Have you posed the question, Guti, what is this for? He might have actually looked into a certain movie and hero worshipping one of his acts from a movie or television. What makes you convinced that this is actually connected to Satanism?
The drawing that he draws is like the Luciferian skulls, tombstones with a Satanist head.
Yak, what do you think of that? Keeping weapons and also the drawings, doesn't this confirm that there is something that this child is actually following or he has experienced in his life?
It certainly confirms that he's following some idea that he has, but the question we should be asking is whether that idea is actually generated by some sort of occult force. And so he, as you suggested in your question, he may have picked it up from popular culture, from movies and such like, but he would only be a Satanist in any kind of scary way if he was being prompted by alleged demons or devils to do these sorts of things. And he's just a poor, confused child. And I feel very sorry for the mother in your studio, because instead of getting psychiatric help or counseling or something, if we think in terms of Satanism or religion, then he'll get no help.
Yeah, the origins of this drawings, you know, drawing a head with horns and all that, can we be able to trace that it might have been somebody, you know, having in his mind a head of a human being and maybe putting the horns of a cow? That was what he was actually thinking. And then somebody later on, years after, interpreting that to be actually related to the devil.
Right, and we've got these drawings throughout history, and they start out as representations of the things that scare us. And when you think back thousands of years to when we didn't have control over our natural environments, the things that would scare us would be animals. And so we would draw pictures of scary animals, and scary humans might then grow to have horns on their heads because they're people we don't trust, or people who we think are violent or dangerous or something like that. And gradually the story grows and becomes mythologized into something like Satanism.
As I understand also through the Bible, we understand that Lucifer was actually the most beautiful angel. And where did it start, you know, for us to be actually having such, you know, interpretations of horrible, horrible pictures and evil practices? Is this maybe driven by a certain cult somewhere to actually take this through people's minds?
Start long before Christianity and the Bible, and which is full of all sorts of myths. I mean, including myths about pleasant things and not just unpleasant things. They start long before that in ancient Near Eastern religions and Zoroastrianism and things like that. The ancient Egyptians had these sorts of images and iconography. So we shouldn't refer to the Bible and its conception of Lucifer, because the authors of that book were just as confused as the child of the mother in your studio.
How does you know, a parent you know, in this situation you know, sort this thing out? Because surely she hasn't for her actually to come out and be public about this. It simply says she really doesn't like this, and she doesn't feel comfortable. So where does one go for starters to be able to reclaim the life of his child?
And I'm not a psychologist, but I would imagine that we'd find that the child is upset or angry or feeling alienated or disappointed by something about his life, and basically needs counseling or needs a supportive environment.
Jacques, thank you so much for talking to us, and we wish you a very good night.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay.